Okay, so going indicated what?
When you left their employ, one way or the other, you had a little card that they gave you on which you indicated, or they indicated whether they wanted to rehire or did not wish to rehire. And mine was well and truly marked, they did not want to rehire me, which did not surprise me.
Well,
they had, well, they tried to get rid of me before. My shop nearly went on strike about it. And I had upset them because, as you know, with any company, in order to try to keep a union for me organized, the company does its own social life. We're just one happy family. And that was the area that I had moved in on and wrecked it because nobody had anything to do then with the company bowling team. We had all our own, I think it's called.
When you were a social worker, you had had this experience with union working. Were they organized?
No. I soon got into difficulties then too.
How?
Yes. Because they didn't have any union. And so when I left there, I got married and I was at home for a while, a youngster, and then I decided that in order to eat it was necessary for me to go back to work, and I couldn't get a job in social work.
Did you try and organize?
Oh, sure.
So what union did you try?
Oh, you couldn't get anywhere with them. It was a dead loss. They were so, the people working in that department had been, I think, around, God only knows when. You know, you had to wear your gloves, you had to wear your hat, you had to be neatly dressed. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because my parents were social workers in New York City, which is different. They organized the union.
Different
sort of cultural composition, I think, because a lot of people were very bad when they became social workers.
Here, they certainly were not. Not in that department. No. They just did their little job. Considered themselves a cut above other people because they had a university education.
So did you try to talk to them about joining the union?
You didn't have to talk very far to know you weren't going to get very far. No.
How did management know?
Closed minds. They just didn't want me around.
Were you fired?
Oh no, I quit. But when I decided, okay, I hated the job, but okay, if I had to get work, and it wasn't too easy. After all, there would be cycles of depression after the war. But they indicated, no, they didn't want to rehire. So.
So how did you then support yourself after you had your kids?
Well, my husband was editor of the what is now the Pacific Tribune, and of course you never knew whether you're going to get wages or not. So a friend of ours was, I forget the name of the firm, some little firm, and he was the accountant there and he needed a bookkeeper. So he showed me how to do some bookkeeping. And then that firm went belly up. And I applied for a job at Debrett's in the Nut House. They make chocolates and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And this was to keep a set of books for the Nut House. It sure was. Have you kept a set of books before? Oh, of course. And evidently the guy had a problem with the last one, so he said, all right, do a bank reconciliation. Good Christ, what's a bank reconciliation? Said, here are the four figures, you know, how would you do that? Oh, God, either add them or subtract them, and I must have done the right thing, because I got hired. but I've lied my way into a few jobs. So I kept my mouth shut and looked back in those books to see what the hell to do. Managed to get through it. You know, Canadians are like that. Anybody's a carpenter. Where's the nearest nail in the hammer? Aren't Canadians like that?
Yeah.
They can do anything.
So that's basically what you did then, with clerical work in that time?
I did it for a little while and decided that it was difficult, you know, you got kids and nobody, summertime comes and what do you do? So we decided that I would go to normal school. So we got a loan to get us through a year and I went to normal school. I did not teach in Vancouver because as a married woman at that time, you to be hired, you had to sign your resignation, which they could use at any time. They didn't want you. So I went to Burnaby and got a job there.
What year are we talking about?
54. 54, and I taught in Burnaby for 26 years. Became their first full-time woman president. That's where I really noticed it in teaching.
Noticed what?
The difference in attitude towards women teachers. It had been better earlier because there were women principals when I first went there. But it sure changed. They would not appoint women. And just prior to getting the job in Burnaby, I guess there'd been a big fight in 52, 53, when there had been two separate scales. Scale for women and a scale for men. And I remember thinking, what's all this thing about everybody talking about? We finally won a single salary scale. What's a single salary scale? But I found out, of course. And went on to end up on the negotiating committee. I guess I negotiated for 14 years now. And because I got pregnant and had to take time off, I discovered that if you did that, you had to actually quit and be rehired. They would not even give you leave of absence. So I was off 5 months, and when I went back again, I went back on the negotiating committee, and we negotiated the first maternity leave.
For you.
Thank you.
Because you would have lost your seniority?
I had to be inspected all over again. I was only off for 5 months. And because they had to hire me, they had went through the whole ritual. You are in your employ. Oh. I saw it red.
How long have you taught for?
Oh, Lordy. 4 years. Sure. Anyway, that's one way of getting the training.
I realized something I hadn't asked you, which was, what about the pay scale imbalance between men and women?
As far as I know, there was no difference. I'm pretty sure it was the same. It was based on, do you have these tools? I remember thinking, this is crazy, because I don't, and I could go and get the tools there, but I don't have them in my toolbox. All I had was a screwdriver, I think, running around with a little screwdriver and rattling around.
Did men and women do basically the same work?
Oh, yes, sure. Mm-hmm. Women were better on the electrical end. Okay? For some reason, they were better, so they were nearly all women in that shop. But fitting on final assembly, all the same. Weathers, I didn't think about any difference. It never even occurred to me that you'd be treated differently.
you at some point became...
Maybe it was just me.
Right.
Consider I just took it for granted. I could do anything. That's it.
Well, I think there are different attitudes.
I'm sure there were different attitudes then, because I thought, what's all this nonsense about women getting involved? Feminism and so on, because I never had a problem.
At some point you became politically active.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because of my sister, who was 5 years older than myself. And of course I always thought whatever she did was just, you know, that's the cat's whisker. So she became involved first, and I just trickled along after.
When was that?
And let me see, I guess I was 19.
So that was during the war, is it?
Yes. Yeah. I guess I was in high school, and one of the Bjarnason clan, the youngest boy, I guess. But we were trying to organize as a student school. Yeah.
So that was your first experience?
Yeah, I guess so. Right.
And
because there was a youth council, which was a very, I guess you've heard about that. And
what was it?
The youth council was a broad organization of representatives of all the different youth organizations. And it was very active. So they used to have different functions. I went there naturally in the beginning because of the straight socializing. Go to some of their dances and have a good time. Mm-hmm. Right? But then I got more involved, as you tend to do.
And did you stay in, were you in a youth group or were you in, you were in the Communist Party group at that time?
I was first in the YSCL, but not for long, because once I went to Boeing's and we had a group of a party branch in there.
Mm-hmm. And did that support the trade union, what you were doing?
Oh, heavens, yes. Sure. Oh yes, without that supportive group, I would have been absolutely stupid. Sure.
What kind of support was it? This is the factor that a lot of women have made it important.
Well, sure, it's important. After all, it was pretty well, the main organizing done in unions was done by people in the Communist Party. In wood, in the shipyards. Shipping the dock workers, longshore, you name it.
Mm-hmm. So how was that?
I mean, you knew that it was essential for workers to be organized. And who the hell's going to do it except people that understand it?
So what kind of concrete support would it give you? How would it help?
Well, I was very young, and there were older people that had more experience, more understanding. And they were all very supportive. Because they suggested that when I went to Boeing's, met with them, that this was an area of work and organizing the social events and getting with the young people and so on. So that's why I did. Mm. It just didn't come out of the top of my head.
Did you discuss politics? Did it help you to discuss politics on the shop floor?
I'm sure it did.
Mm-hmm. And would you be able to discuss actual strategy for working in the union that way?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
So that wouldn't help, but would the cell structure or the committee structure, would it be able to talk about issues coming up in the union and then say this is what we can do here?
Any group of people that are more good a little more political than any within a group of workers are obviously going to sit down and talk together to see how they can do things better. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a group in Teachers Viewpoint in the BCTF, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get together, talk about the issues and so on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about DCF people? Were they also active in...
I really don't know. I wasn't that aware. But after all, in the Depression, when they were having the... I remember the unemployed men, and they had the snake parades going through town. And being in Woodward's, when they went through Woodward's, and suddenly it... I remember everything being very, very quiet all of a sudden. And it made a very strong impression on me. And I think I was grade 8, 14, something like that at the time. That's no problem, it's perfectly natural. A little background music is fine, sure. Because I'm sure it was a sympathetic gurgle, because I'm sure the men's stomachs were growling from lack of food.
Right.
And coming to the CCF was at the Powell Street grounds. You know, there'd be Grant McNeil and Helena Gutteridge, and as well as communist speakers and
right,
so on.
Right. Yeah. On the
UNIC, the CCF was much, much better than the NDP. I mean, they sit down and talk about socialism, for heaven's sakes. If you tried to do that in the NDP today, they'd all run around and shut their doors. with some of them. And skills.
So the executive and the stewards, would there be more people in those work bodies than there were in the party?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After all, it got through an illegal period. Life gets a little difficult. It isn't easy.
Right. What was the implications of the Liberal Progressive Party being?
There was a general thought that they, with the government, if they at that time, that they would release people, mm-hmm. and we would have a Liberal Progressive Party.
Mm-hmm. Would the company use people's politics against them in any way?
If they could, sure, no different.
Mm-hmm. Like, would they openly regulate people with that kind of thing?
They could. They would see to it that there were people on the shop floor that were apparently everywhere. That they were just being provocative. You could pick them out.
Was there a fair amount of that? People who
were particularly. No. At that time, with so many going overseas, they were short of workers. And people were beginning to pick and choose. That's why there was a turnover.
Okay. Do you have any other comments you want to make?
I don't think so.